Welcome to the Life of a Gentleman podcast. Journey with us as we discuss the life of a gentleman and how we can gain more respect and confidence with lessons in life, etiquette, and personal style. Each week, we will bring engaging discussions, thought-provoking interviews, and tips on upgrading your personal style. We are all a work in progress. Let's take this journey together. Let's live the life of a gentleman. Welcome back, everyone, to the Life of a Gentleman podcast. I'm Richard Taylor, your host, and I want to personally thank you for taking the time to listen to the show each week. Definitely want to remind you to check out the book, The Life of a Gentleman. It's available for free download. This is our gift to you. You can get it by going to harrisonblakeapparel.com, going to the blog and downloading your free copy, ebook, or audiobook format. Before we go any further, I want to welcome into the show my co-host, Deandra Marie. How's it going today?
I'm doing really good. How are you? How's the new year been? Did you set any goals? Like, are you ready for the new year?
Deandra, I am totally ready for 2017. We're going to tackle this thing head on. I'm so pumped up. I have an announcement, too, that I'll make in just in a little bit. But how about you? You have some goals or some things you want to achieve this year?
I mean, yeah, I have quite a few things, but the thing about it being a new year, you know, it doesn't really faze me, I guess. You know, some people are like, okay, once the new year starts, I'm going to do these goals. You know, it's kind of a continuous thing for me.
Yeah, no, that's a good way to be. I mean, because knowing you, you're always motivated. You're always up to something. So that's good. But some people, they kind of need that new year and they think they can flip a switch. But that's kind of hard to do, like you said. But hopefully we can today kick around some ideas or some thoughts and maybe some tips on how people can get jump started with the new year or how they can maybe reach out and, you know, attain those goals this year that they've been meaning to get around to.
Yeah, definitely. And I think just to start it off, tip number one is expanding on what I said. You don't have to wait until the new year to embark on a goal or a journey. You know, it's one thing if you say, okay, January 1st, I'm gonna start to go on a diet. You know, that's one thing. But when it's something continuous and it's something that you want to grow, like an area you want to grow in, you really don't have to wait until the new year. I mean, you can start whenever you want. It's probably best to start, I think, in December. Whatever goals you have for that following year, you should start putting the framework together in December so things can start falling into place. Not saying it's going to be perfect as soon as January 1st hits, but at least you have the framework, you have the idea in motion, you have it written down, you know the steps you want to take. Because I feel like if you wait until January 1st and okay, maybe to set up your framework takes 5 months, then you're sitting here in May like, oh my God, I haven't gotten anything done, and you know, you're beating yourself up over it. But you could kind of get that in mind in the year prior.
Yeah, you're right. You know, don't wait, because then you're kind of behind, like you said. As far as, you know, the new year rolling around, you know, people always make these big statements about, you know, maybe losing weight, getting in shape, or getting their finances together. But for me, I kind of agree with you. You kind of have to constantly be learning, constantly be evolving throughout the year. When the new year hits, I mean, you've got to hit the ground running. Otherwise, like you said, you're going to be way behind on achieving those goals.
Oh yeah, definitely. Like completely off. And then, like I said, you get to the middle of the year and you're beating yourself up over it. And, you know, I'm not saying you should, because any progress is great progress, but you, like you said, you can really hit the ground running if you take preliminary steps to kind of setting up your goals.
Yeah, and you're right. One of the things that you mentioned is you should have had already set out those goals, what they were, before late December. Now it's too late to start writing them down now. If you haven't done it, okay, go ahead and do it. But, you know, just a tip for thinking forward for next year, already have in mind, you know, where you want to go. Let's say you started a business. Now you want to go to that next level. Well, what's going to get you there? You know, maybe you should make a list of the top books that you're going to read, the podcast that you're going to subscribe to, like this one. you know, and because, you know, we help in a lot of different aspects of life. And for those wanting to start a business, you know, we have a business coach that comes on, Mr. John Carroll, and he comes on and he drops so much knowledge about getting your business off the ground, or maybe you want to be more stylish and present a better you this year. But all those things, you have to kind of, I guess the tip is really write them down. Don't just have it bouncing around in your head, because you'll forget. So get those goals on paper, and throughout the year, kind of update as you go. That way, when December rolls around, you're not scrambling trying to write something down.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you, you know, and I think tip number two, and this is for people whose goals are to be a better person or enhance a certain characteristic about themselves. One thing that I think would really work and can really work is, it could be throughout the year or you could wait till December, you write down all the things that you want to leave in 2016. And I'm not necessarily talking about like people. I'm talking about literally characteristics about yourself, things you can control. If there's anything that you want, you know, to change or you want to leave in 2016, write it down in a list. And what some people do is they really reflect on that list, and then when December 31st comes around, they burn it as a symbolization of those things staying in the previous year. And I think that works. I mean, me personally, I am a believer of God, so when I write those down, I kind of just pray that the Lord will take those things from me for the following year. Whatever your higher power is, if you have one or not, I think as long as you take it seriously and it's not just a list you're burning, because essentially it's just a piece of paper that you're burning up, and you really take it seriously, I think that can help in the following year as well.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. Some people, you know, that helps them, and that's fine, you know, and other people just, you know, can visualize things in their head. But, you know, I want to touch on your tip number two, and that is leaving some things behind, because, you know, for me, I usually have a new mindset as I go into a new year. And then the new year also for me is another calendar year for, you know, the business, Harrison Blake. And so this is the start of our fourth year. So, you know, it just so happens that it rolls around our anniversary date in January. So you're right, leaving some things behind and also looking forward to the things that you want to achieve in the next year. But, you know, you mentioned sometimes you don't have to leave behind people, but sometimes you have to leave behind personality traits, like you touched on. And that can be difficult, because that gives you a chance to really self-assess, you know, look at yourself in the mirror and think, what is it about me that I want to see changed? How can I make this personal growth into the next year? And a lot of times it's hard to do that without actually gaining some sort of education or knowledge, because if you want to change, you have to grow. So my recommendation is, if you're going to leave something behind, you have to fill your mind with something different in its place. So I recommend people reading. If you don't like to actually read books, sign up for audible.com or some service like that where the books are read to you, or go on YouTube. There's a lot of free books that are on YouTube that you can listen to on your headphones, or also, you know, motivational speakers and things like that, things to get your mindset going in a different direction for the new year.
Oh yeah, I definitely agree. And I think as you were talking, I was thinking that writing those things down and burning it, you really are, that's your self-assessment. You know, it's one thing to think in your head, oh, you know, I have a short temper, so I'm gonna work on that. And then it's another thing to really write that down and reflect on how you can, I'm not gonna say not have a temper at all, but to not be so quick to jump down people's throats. That's just something that came to my mind as you were speaking as well. And like you said, you have to fill it in with something. Like if it's a whole bunch of negative things on there, hey, fill it with positivity. You know, whatever positivity like that is for you, if that's reading books, like Rich said, if that's focusing more on your craft, you know, a lot of the negative energies and traits and personality traits can really take away from you achieving your goals. You know, like, have you ever been upset with someone and then you don't feel like doing nothing? You know, you can really take whatever negativity was happening, whether it was in you or in a whatever relationship you're having with someone, friends, family, whatever, and fill that in with a step that you wrote down on how you're going to accomplish your goals. You know what I mean? You're already ahead of the game.
No, you're exactly right. And I think what I'll do at this time is just give my last tip, and then after I'm done, you know, you can give yours. But I think my last tip, and the most important thing I can stress to the audience that's listening about setting goals and making positive changes for the new year, is really to stress the point that you're going to have to open your mind up to believing that you can achieve, you know, your goals that you have set in front of you, or make those personality changes. One of the things that I recommend is, as I said, reading, but also find yourself a coach. I know John Carroll has talked about that. This can be somebody that you meet with and have sessions with monthly. Also, you can find a virtual coach online, or people that you look up to. Somebody like Tony Robbins. My personal favorite is Les Brown. You can get so much information and knowledge from listening to people like that, that it really can change your mindset, take you to the next level, and you'll be doing things that you didn't even think were possible. Because what happens is, we all have our little circle of influence, right? So you're kind of limited by what you see around you. So you have to expand that circle. And if you can't expand it with, you know, real people that you can touch and talk to, then it might have to be people that you see virtually by joining an internet group, like a mastermind group or a special Facebook group, where other people are like-minded like you, pushing you to go ahead and reach forward, to reach out, to make these positive changes. Because that's important, having that support system around you. Because, you know, the title of this show, Living the Life of a Gentleman, when you're making that change into a gentleman, as we talked about on some way past episodes, there could be some pushback. So you've got to get that new circle around you. And if that new circle has to be an author, you know, a speaker, or virtual friends that you're making online, that's totally fine, you know, as long as you're committed to making those changes.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think that tip really kind of brings everything together. You know, you're getting rid of that negativity, you got to bring in some positive reinforcement, because you are kind of limited to what you keep around you, you know. Because if you're tolerating negativity, who's to say that you're not going to end up being negative, you know, like, eventually. So I think that's great. My final tip would be, do not beat yourself up. You know, if you have goals for 2017 and so on, write them down. And you know what, at the end of the year, check off what was accomplished, because you'll be surprised at how much you actually do accomplish in the year than how much you don't accomplish. And sometimes, you know, the things you don't accomplish, you get that idea of like, okay, that didn't work out because of this. But you know what I'm saying? But that doesn't mean it'll never work out. That doesn't mean it can't be on your list for the next year. You know, some goals take years, and that's perfectly fine. But don't beat yourself up because you didn't accomplish it in 365 days, because it really is not that many days when you think about it. So don't beat yourself up. That's my final tip.
DeAndre, I love that tip, because you ended it on a positive note. And at the same time, you're right. Sometimes we beat ourselves up. We look at what we didn't achieve. But if you really look back at where you've come from, you know, a few years, the advancement, the progress that you've made, it's amazing the changes that you can have it made in a positive way in your life. So I really like that last tip that you gave. And just before we close out this segment, I know a few months ago I had talked about, you know, releasing a new book that I had been working on. And I wanted to make the announcement here on the podcast first that in early 2017, probably the late January, early February, my next book will be released and available on Amazon.com.
What?
Yeah, so I just wanted to put that out there now, that It's the follow-up book to the title book of this podcast, The Life of a Gentleman. This is called The Mindset of a Gentleman, and it kind of plays into what we've been talking about today, how you can change your mindset to believe that you can achieve these new things. And I'd like to thank you and all the contributors that have, you know, that I've been surrounding myself with for the past year that have motivated me to step out of my shell, to get back to writing and do something different again. But I really think that this book, The Mindset of a Gentleman, is going to transform some lives in 2017. So as soon as that book is made available, we'll let the audience know. But just to whet your appetite, it will be coming within a month, 2 months tops. And I'm looking forward to sharing it with everyone and getting some feedback on it.
Oh, well, that's great, Rich. I'm glad you're coming out with another book, because The Life of a Gentleman, the book, was very well written. It was very informative. And the mindset of a gentleman, you're right, is also very important. You know, it's really about how your way of thinking and how that can, you know, how whatever goes on in your head translates into how you treat people and how your standard to how you want people to treat you. So I'm excited. I'm very excited. And I'm happy for you.
I appreciate it. I'm looking forward to getting your feedback and seeing what you think about it. But I guess enough about that. And I really enjoyed this discussion today. I got to say that. But I guess it's time to jump into the interview. You ready?
Oh, I'm ready. And now it's time for a segment we like to call A Groomed Gent. We all know that being a gentleman is way more than how you dress, so we decided to bring on a grooming and hygiene expert to give tips about upkeep and hygiene. So without further ado, this is A Groomed Gent, only on The Life of a Gentleman.
Welcome back, everyone, to another edition of The Life of a Gentleman. And today we have a special guest who is a recurring guest with us on the show, and you may know him online as The Social Cut. None other than Mr. Steve Nunez is joining us today. How's it going today, Steve?
Hey, Richard. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me back on.
It's our pleasure. We always appreciate talking to you because you make the segments fun and informative. So we are looking forward to your topic for today. What do you have in mind?
We're going to stick to the grooming area for our gents and for your listeners. And we're going to be talking about tips to growing out the best beard ever.
Oh, that sounds like a great one. Everybody wants to be on a team beard gang, but everybody can't do it. You know, they got the patchy beard looking like Sanford and Son, but you can help us out. Let's do it.
Perfect. Yeah, like you said, Richard, everyone wants to get in that beard game, but we just have to be honest with ourselves. And just the first things first, rule of thumb is we have to take our beard and treat it the same way as we do the hair on our head, meaning everyone has different hairstyle, everyone has different type of hair, so on and so on. So the same thing for our beard. So we just have to take it for what it is and learn how to work with it. So the first tip I have for the listeners is be patient. Like I said, people have thicker hair, people have thin hair, patchy beards, whatever it is. We just have to be patient. It might take you a month to grow. For example, in my case, I'm not that fortunate. I was able to grow somewhat of a beard. I try to keep it neat, but it took me 3 months to grow out a beard, Richard. So that just gives you an idea that you have to be patient. Some guys, you've seen some guys, they can grow a beard and, you know, they shave in the morning and by lunchtime they have a full beard already, you know?
yeah, I've seen that.
So it's just, you have to be patient, understand the type of hair you have, the type of beard you have when it grows out, and get through that awkward stage. Just kind of, if you're growing out a new hairstyle, you're going to go through an awkward stage. So first understand the type of hair you have and be patient.
Yeah, that's a good tip, because a lot of times people throw in the towel too early and that beard was maybe just a week or two away.
Exactly. And so now I want to move into the second tip I have for you guys, and beard maintenance. I get this question a lot, is how do I maintain my beard, especially when someone's growing out their beard for the first time or they've tried multiple times? And again, it's the same rule of thumb, is you should maintain your beard like you do the hair on your head. So you need to make sure to wash it. I've seen guys who have very unruly beards and they just use regular soap or face soap, but it's hair, guys. So you want to make sure to wash it just like you do your head. So feel free to use some shampoo, but there are a lot of grooming products specifically for beards that you can use. So like I said, treat it like you do the hair on your head, guys, and make sure you guys wash it. And as the beard's growing out, you might get that prickly feeling where the beard starts getting, for you guys who grow it really thick, where it starts hurting, you know. So if you have a girlfriend or wife, you know, and you rub your face against someone, like, it starts burning, right? As it grows out, it'll soften up, but you want to make sure to use some beard oil if you have that problem, and it'll keep it nice and shiny, it'll look healthy, and it'll start loosening up and give it a softer feel. So you want to make sure to use beard oil. And again, guys, I keep saying, treat it like you do the hair on your head. So brush it. Buy a brush, buy a small comb. You've seen the mustache combs. You want to start combing it to the direction you guys want to grow your beard, just like you do on your head. You use hair products and you comb it because your hair naturally doesn't, the entire hair doesn't naturally go in one direction. So you have to start combing it and training it as it grows out, so that way it looks fuller. And sometimes people have patchy beards, and not necessarily that you're missing a lot of hair there. It's just that all the hair is starting to grow towards one direction, and it gives it that illusion of I have a bald spot. So you guys just want to make sure to brush your hair in the right direction that you want your beard to grow out, so that way when it starts growing out, you know, it doesn't look all unruly or scraggly. It looks nice and fresh, and it looks like a full beard.
Yeah, that's some good advice. A lot of people tend to forget that. I think they think it's just automatically going to fill out and have that big lumberjack look, but you got to work for it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, guys just think it's just gonna, you just let it grow out and that's it. So maintenance is definitely a big part of growing out a really good beard. So now for my third tip, beard lines. So this is a touchy area here, and I think it just depends on the style you're looking for, but generally you want to avoid beard lines. I don't know if you've seen guys are starting to do these beard enhancements or sharp lines, and it just doesn't look natural. Do you know what I'm talking about, Richard?
Yeah, I've seen them. There's a lot of videos you can find on YouTube and also on Instagram, and I mean, some of these beards, I mean, they're perfect. It's unbelievable how they do this.
Exactly, it is. But I mean, I don't know who they think they're fooling, but no one's beard grows out like that. So it's good to shape your beard, and you want to shape your beard, but you have to keep it looking natural, guys. So use a beard trimmer. Beard trimmers come with different clips, so that way you can shape your beard. You can start off with the line and start blending it in, so that way it doesn't look as sharp. It looks more natural, and again, that gives it more of a natural full beard look. And when you're doing the line at the bottom, guys usually ask me, like, oh, well, where do I do my beard line? Is it right below my chin, in the middle of my neck? So you want to generally do the beard line about an inch or two above your Adam's apple and start blending it in from there. So again, that gives it that natural look. You know, it doesn't look like you're trying too hard. It just looks like a nice, good beard, especially as it's growing out. That way it keeps it looking fresh. And since we're on the topic of the beard lines, you guys want to also avoid these color enhancements. And these color enhancements are getting out of hand, Richard. They look like they're painting the beards on a full beard. And it's like I said, guys, you have to work with what you have. For me, I can't grow a full-blown beard. I generally grow thicker beard around the goatee area, and it's lighter on the cheek area. So I work with what I have, and what I do is I start blending my beard from the goatee area up to the sideburns. I start blending it in because it's just naturally thinner on the side. So instead of me doing all these color enhancements and, you know, it comes off in a day or two, or it just looks like it stains your skin, you know, keep it natural, guys. It looks a lot cleaner. You look more like a gentleman. You just don't want to embarrass yourself, guys. And it's just a cleaner look. So that's we want to stay away from that.
Yeah, I've seen those videos, and you're right. I actually saw one where it looked like a guy was using pretty much like a small paintbrush, and he was painting on a beard onto another guy at a barbershop. And I just kind of cringed. You're not going to fool anybody with that, are you?
Exactly. You're not fooling anyone. It looks like someone painted beard on. That's exactly what it looks like.
Yeah, so, who wants that?
Yeah, exactly. So if that's the look you guys want, then hey, go for it, guys. But that's just my tip for you. So moving on, Richard. So my last tip I have for you guys is shaping your beard. And I know I keep saying this, but just like a haircut, some styles work better for some guys than others. So the same thing, you want to consider the shape of your face. For example, if you have a round face, then this is a perfect opportunity to shape your beard square. You know, that way it can accentuate your jaw, give it a stronger jawline, or whatever it is you think is going to look good. But the best way to do this is to give it a try, shape your beard, you know, and if you have a big chin, maybe you don't need a beard. You maybe just need maybe like a mustache, or again, you just have to consider your face shape and start shaping it where it's gonna accentuate your face and make you look a lot better. So make sure you guys take advantage of that beard trimmer. Comes with different clips, and that way you can shape it and you guys take advantage of the hair you guys have.
Yeah, that's a really good tip, because you're right. Sometimes when you shape up your beard, you can look like a whole new person. And if you see somebody who's had a beard, and let's say they shave it off, you almost don't even recognize them sometimes. You don't even know who that person is. So that's a great tip, Steve.
Yeah, exactly. That actually happened to me. I grew my beard out for the first time. I've always had a clean, you know, clean shaved look. And like I said, I've tried it multiple times before, and I wasn't able to grow it out. I just had that awkward stage where it started looking patchy, and I was like, I can't do it. A beard's just not for me. So a little secret for you guys. I used No Shave November as an excuse to let my beard grow out, because people would always make fun of me, like, oh, you're trying to grow a beard, you can't grow a beard. So I used the November month to let it grow out. So if people try to make fun of me, I was like, hey, I'm doing it for November, so leave me alone.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good one.
Yeah, so I finally gave it a try, and yeah, after that month, I went on 2 months, and it was still tough for me to grow the beard out. But third month came in, and it started looking a lot fuller. You know, I started taking care of it, I started shaping it, and yeah, little by little, it started looking not too bad. And like I said, I'm just working with what I have, and that's what I think you guys should do as well.
I think that's the best advice. Just work with what you have. Be patient, like you said. Take care of it. Groom it. Man, Steve, we really appreciate those tips that you had, and coming on like you do and always reminding us that it's so important to take care of our grooming as well as just our fashion. So thank you very much.
Hey, not a problem, Richard. Thanks a lot. And I appreciate you having me on here, and I look forward to being back on here and sharing some more of my tips.
Yeah, definitely. We'll have you back. And before you go, just do us a favor. Let everybody know where they can find you on social media and your website if they want to learn more.
Absolutely. So you guys can check me out on my social media at The Social Cut. And I always have a weekly YouTube video. You guys can check out my YouTube channel also. It's The Social Cut. And you guys check it out. You guys will see the difference of how when I didn't have a beard. And you guys can see the phases I went through from my awkward stages to what I have now. So you guys check it out and let me know what you guys think.
Sounds good, Steve. We'll do that. Everybody check them out. The Social Cut. And Steve, until next time, talk to you soon.
Thanks, Richard.
Hey everybody, it's DeAndre Marie, the producer of The Life of a Gentleman, and I have a great deal to offer you. You can save more than 25% off handmade Italian leather shoes. I'm talking monk straps, brogues, loafers, and more. If you want to learn how you can save more than 25% on these great quality shoes, please go to www.itsdeandremarie.com and click on Bespoken Mogul Shoes in the menu bar. And make sure you stay tuned into The Life of a Gentleman.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Life of a Gentleman podcast. Today, I'm joined once again by our resident business expert, Mr. John DeCaro from Trace Coaching Services, and we are so happy that he's agreed to come back on the show and share some of his wisdom and knowledge that he has obtained over the years through training and life experience. John, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you very much, my friend. Happy New Year.
Oh, thank you so much, John.
I'm delighted to be back. It's going to be a great 2017.
Yeah, definitely. I think this is going to be a great year. Everyone I've talked to is really full of energy and ready to hit the ground running. So we are so glad that you are here to kind of point us in the right direction for those that are starting their business.
Sure, absolutely. Looking forward to helping any way I can there. And I thought what we'd do to kick off the year, because everybody is probably immersed now and just getting ramped up and kicking off their new goals and objectives for the new calendar year, thought we would expand a little bit on a topic we just briefly touched on in one of the other segments, and that's the importance of networking, particularly for solopreneurs and small business owners that are just getting started. It's such an integral part of what they should be doing in terms of their daily business development activities. I want to spend some time today, Richard, talking a little bit about the do's and don'ts from my experience in having the opportunity to be involved in literally hundreds of these kind of networking events and activities, and what I've been able to take away from that in terms of what works and what doesn't work.
That sounds great, because I know that's a challenging aspect of business that a lot of people face. You don't know what to do when you get to those events sometimes. You find yourself walking around with your hands in your pockets. So I'd love to hear these tips.
Oh, absolutely. Well, let me give you some of the fun facts, as I call them, particularly in why it's so important. There are literally, if you go to meetup.com, for example, there are, the last time I looked, which has been some time ago, there are as many as 130,000 meetups happening on any given week across the country. So that says that there's an abundance of things that you can get plugged into to network and start building great relationships. In fact, the last time I looked, Richard, there were almost 900 events just within a 25-mile radius in the Dallas-Fort Worth area of my office. So there's not a lack of opportunities to network with this overabundance of networking opportunities out there. But, you know, the thing that I see is, why do so many small business owners struggle with making networking work for them? And I think there's some fundamental reasons, and that's what I want to spend some time on today. You know, because the short answer from my experience is that most small business owners aren't prepared for success when they walk through the door to a networking event. And as a consequence, it's very easy to get frustrated. And it's also time-consuming and expensive if you don't take the time to prepare in advance.
Yeah, that makes total sense. And that was really some eye-opening statistics that you mentioned, because there seems like there's really an overabundance of these groups all over the place. So if we put in the effort to search them out, we can attend one of these and potentially make some great business contacts, can't we?
Absolutely, and that's why it's so critical. It's not so much quantity as it is quality in making sure that you do your due diligence and your homework up front, so you're really targeting those that are really hitting your sweet spot in terms of your demographics as well as your target market and your customer profile. So you have to have a handle on those. You know, what are the demographics of your business that you're targeting? What's your target market? What's the profile of your ideal customer? And how do these groups satisfy those right up front? And so, you know, as a good friend of mine, Jeff Klein, who's the author of 30 Seconds to Success, and he's also the founder of Speaker Co-op, said one time in a meeting that I attended, there are only two reasons to network. One is to get referrals, and the other is to give referrals.
I like that.
And as I mentioned offline to you before we got started today, for a small business and the clients I've worked with, I historically have found that 90 to 95% of their business and their revenues come from referrals. Well, that's why networking and picking those right targets is so terribly important to growing that revenue base.
Wow, 90 to 95%? I didn't realize it was that high, John.
Yeah, comes through referrals. So you ask the question, okay, there's all these events out there and activities going on every week that could hit my sweet spot. Why am I not seeing more success? And again, I think it goes back to preparation and planning, or a lack thereof. So let's talk a little bit about the do's and don'ts in terms of building that game plan that's going to allow you to realize more success from your networking events. And first thing I would say is to reinforce, do your homework. Do your homework and planning up front, and be prepared to do business when you walk through the door. In other words, the minute you land on that ideal customer prospect, you know, start that dialogue and start that engagement right there. And if you walk through the door and you're just bumping around and you're not even sure, am I in the right place? Is this the right group for me, et cetera, then, you know, as Zig Ziglar once said, you're a wandering generality. you're just bouncing around the room hoping something sticks to you. And that's not the way to build an effective game plan and to grow your business.
Yeah, no, that was good. Okay, so do our homework before we get there.
Do your homework and planning up front. What I always recommend is, if you know somebody in their group, find out a little bit about how long their group's been around. You know, a lot of the groups are category exclusive, so you need to find out, is your industry spot already taken? Because if it is, you're wasting your time by even going, if that seat's already taken. So find out, are they category exclusive? Is my category still available? How many people generally attend? And kind of really get a sense for the crowd. If they've got a website, go to their website, take a look at it, see who's there, and then you can start building a specific plan. So do that upfront preparation and planning before you make a decision to attend that next event. Second thing I recommend is have fun and smile. I see so many people in networking events walking through the door, like particularly towards the end of the week, that are wrung out. They look like they're beaten down, they're exhausted.
Oh no.
Or they're having a bad day. If that's the case, don't show up. If you're not prepared and if you're not having a good day and you're in a bad mood, don't go, because that's going to be reflected in your body language and what people pick up from you. And they're not going to be able to or want to connect with you, because quite frankly, they don't want any that bad juju on them.
Yeah.
Next thing I would say, in addition to your preparation and planning, know your audience in terms of that, again, back to your ideal customer profile, and tailor your message to reach them, because you'll see if you're connecting with the audience, or you'll see the other people as they go through their 30-second or 60-second introductions. So many people start those out, and I'll touch on this a little bit later, with their name and business name. And if they have about 5 or 6 people, if you watch, Richard, at your next networking event in a row, just get up there and introduce themselves with their name and business name, people will start going to their cell phones, and you're gonna lose them. What you want to do is make sure that whoever you're targeting gets it, you know, that you don't want them scratching their head and saying, well, is he speaking to me? That's telling them the message isn't getting through. So practice your 30-second or 60-second elevator pitch in advance, and know going through, when you walk through the door, who you want to connect with in terms of that message through your interaction with the group and in your introduction.
That's a good one.
What you don't want to do is leave it up to the audience to figure out what you do and what your value proposition is.
Okay.
You want that value proposition to show through to where people are going to go, ooh, yeah, I need to get with him after the meeting today. Next thing is, do identify 3 to 5 what I call high value targets as you start socializing before the meeting gets started, that you want to start building those key intentional relationships with. And those could be potential clients, partners, or suppliers. Could be one of those three categories. And that way, it's easier to tailor your message if you identify some of those high-value targets up front. Because the bottom line is, if there's 30 to 40 to 50 people in the room, well, you know, you're not selling to the crowd. You're trying to pick off selected people that you can deliver value to, or vice versa, to help grow your business. And to on the converse side of that, don't be a business card collector. I see so many people, and even I've gotten to the point now where I don't even accept it, that just walk around the room handing their business card to people. That's not the way to build intentional relationships.
Yeah, I've read that's about the number one no-no when you go to a networking event, just handing out cards, because it doesn't even seem like it'd be effective.
In fact, some of the most effective networkers I know aren't really networkers, they're connectors. And there's a big difference, and I'll explain that in a moment. But they don't even have business cards. They've evolved their business to the point to where they start establishing those relationships, start adding value, do the follow-up, and then, you know, connect with them down the road to where there's an opportunity that's compelling enough that the two will want to do business together. And then you share contact information. But they go through several layers of qualification before they ever get to that point, and they don't have business cards.
Wow, okay. That's different.
Yeah. And I touched on this one. The next one is, do prepare and practice your 30-second introduction in advance. I have, and I think I mentioned this once earlier in another segment, Richard, I have 60 or 65 different 30 and 60-second elevator pitches that I have put together. I've rehearsed, I've edited, I've recorded them, I've edited them again, and I've practiced and memorized them to where it just rolls off my tongue. And I use them selectively in different groups because I attend so many of these as a business and leadership coach. I attend so many of these networking events is you'll find that probably 30% of the audience you'll overlap with other groups. And if in any given week, I don't want the same people hearing the same message because in terms of remembering it, if you say it different ways to the same audience, you'll have a better chance of connecting with them at some point in time. So I have 60 or 65 that I have, and I pull them out of the basket when it's time to go, and I pick the ones I want to use this week, and I go through again and review them, and I take it with me, and it's sitting in the car at each one of the events, so I'm ready to go.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, the converse of that is don't get up there and just spray and pray, as I call it, because there's so many people that don't are not comfortable in front of the microphone or standing up and introducing themselves, and so they postpone it and avoid it to the point to where now it's their turn and they're at the back of the line and they don't have anything to say. And, you know, I look at those people as, you know, if you're not prepared to tell me in 30 seconds or less your value proposition, what you're all about, do I really want to do business with you? Because if that's the way you prepare within your business, then you're probably not somebody I want to spend time with.
No, that's a good point, John. That makes sense.
Yep. Next thing is, and again, it goes to what you deliver to them. Do have a compelling offer that grabs their attention. You want to have something that says to them, you know, and I'll give you an example. One of the things I say is great results are the key to business success and great vision is the key to everything. And then I go through and talk a little bit about my business. And then I say, you know, see me after the breakfast or lunch or whatever, and I'll show you at least 5 or 6 ways to double your revenues and profits within the next 12 months.
Oh, wow. That's really enticing, you know? So you're kind of whetting their appetite.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, you know, who doesn't want to double their revenues and profits in the next 12 months, right?
Right.
So I better get with this guy and find out what that's all about and what that entails. So that's make it compelling. Make it something that's going to grab their attention and say, I need to engage with this individual. Conversely, don't come to the meeting empty-handed. Again, you don't want, if you come to the meeting empty-handed, I have no reason to see you after the meeting and I'm out of there and off to my next thing. You lose that opportunity. Next thing is, when you're wrapping things up, do ask for what you want. For example, you know, this month I'm looking for blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Again, talks to my ideal customer profile. So if you know anybody that's in this area, please get with me after the meeting today. And the final thing is, don't forget to include the ask in your introduction because Zig Ziglar again says, we miss 100% of the sales that we don't ask for.
Yeah, I've heard that one.
And it's so true in referrals and networking as well, is you want to leave them with something that grabs their attention and you want to make sure they're clear on how they can help you. Next do is schedule a minimum of 2 to 3 follow-up meetings with your high-value targets that you've identified through the course of that meeting. Because if you've already identified them, you want to be able to take that relationship and that connection to the next level. And to find out what's there and whether it's something you want to pursue. You don't want to leave empty-handed because, again, you've already invested probably a half hour traveling to the meeting, an hour to an hour and a half there, and then you've got another half hour on the back end getting back to your business and engaging again. And the final thing is do follow up with handwritten thank you notes and stay engaged with the people that you want to continue to build relationships with.
Wow. The way you broke that down, John, I mean, there's so many tips. I took notes. I hope certainly that those listening took notes as well, because I think if we apply these at our next marketing or event that we attend, I think we can knock it out of the park.
Oh, yeah. And it eliminates the, as I touched on, bobbing for apples. You know, because you don't want to go to an event bobbing for apples and hope that when you stick your head in that cold water that you're going to come up with something. You want to do the upfront planning, and you want to take those steps, as I've outlined them, Richard, through to building those intentional relationships. And those intentional relationships are what's going to help drive your business development activities and help you get quality referrals that are going to ultimately turn into new clients, new partners, and new supplier relationships.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Now, John, before we go and wrap this conversation, could you just do us one last favor and let everyone know about your website and how they can get in touch with you if they'd like to get personal coaching from you or learn about some of your online programs? Can you do that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The easiest way to reach me is through my website. It's got a lot of detail there. It's tracecoach.com, and that's T-R-E-S. coach.com, and you can reach me at email at john@tracecoach.com as well.
Oh, we really appreciate it, John. Thank you for joining us on The Life of a Gentleman, and thanks for coming on again and giving us some more of this business knowledge. We hope that we can do this again in the future.
My pleasure, Richard. Thank you. You have a great, great rest of the week and a great new year.
Thanks so much, John. You too. Take care.
These messages are brought to you by Harrison Blake Apparel, specializing in fashion accessories such as ties and lapel pins. Join the Harrison Blake monthly subscription club. Each month, they deliver one necktie plus four additional matching accessories for only $25. This is the easy way to build or enhance your wardrobe. To learn more and subscribe, visit harrisonblakeapparel.com. These messages are also brought to you by DeAndra Marie, a young, talented female host who conducts interviews, event coverage, and produces the Life of a Gentleman podcast. For inquiries on how to be featured, please visit www.itsdeandramarie.com.